Thank you, Lord. Well, we're going to start talking this evening. We're going to go on a series. We're going to call the 7 steps to the highest kind of faith. And we're going to be talking about faith. It's going to be putting just several things together. And we want to walk at a higher level. And I don't want you to look at this as like, you know, a 7-step program or anything. These are just points that we can look at that say these are things that we need to focus on, that we want to make sure as we're looking at how we're walking out our lives, we want to say, look at this and say, yep, I'm strong there, or I could put that more into focus. I haven't been looking at that as I should. I haven't been emphasizing that as I should, that we would see the places that, you know, if our faith feels weak in an area, that we can look down this list and say, are these places strong? Am I really, you know, I maybe have heard things on it, I maybe have heard things preached, but am I really believing this? Is this real in my life? Because, you know, it doesn't matter if you've heard it. That doesn't mean anything. And so many people, they think they're somewhere and they're, you know, I'm a mature Christian because I've heard something. It doesn't have anything to do with hearing anything. How many of you know you could sit in a natural class? You could go to any number of the universities and colleges we have. You could sit there and listen and walk out. That doesn't mean you have a degree. That doesn't mean you know anything. No, there's going to come a time they're going to ask you, they're going to test you and see if you know. And that's for us, that's called life. And so as we walk out this life, it's what you do is what you know. You say, well, I know that. If you're not doing it, you don't know it. Well, I know what to do, but I just don't do it. Well, then you don't really know it. I don't really know it. I can say, well, I know this, and I've heard that, and I have this many downloads on that, and I've heard that, and I've heard this one preach it, and I've heard that one preach it. Well, but then when push comes to shove, man, I just can't do it. Okay? Well, then maybe we don't know as we ought to know. Right? Maybe we're not emphasizing. Maybe there's a glitch in our understanding somewhere where we think we know. And so we come to the situation and we're applying the knowledge we had. I'm not saying this to beat us up. I'm saying it would be foolish for us to say, well, I know that. Nothing's working, but I know that. It's not working for me, but I know it. So what else is the problem? Well, okay. Maybe there's some things that we could go back and look and see, is there things that we could go higher? Because we can all go higher, right? Every one of us. I don't care who you name on this earth can get higher, can get closer. They're not where the Lord Jesus is. I don't care who it is, how long they've walked with God. They're a flawed human being, and they could always come up in their walk. Our goal is just to walk just as Jesus walked. And we don't have an excuse. We don't have to just say, well, I just can't do it. I'm just a human after all. I just can't do it and make an excuse, because no, we're not just human. We have the greater one inside of us. And so by his strength, we can act on the word. Amen? We can do what the word says we can do. So we're just going to stir ourselves up and we're going to go down some of these things. And I believe when we get through this, we're going to be at a higher level. I mean, tonight, but then next week and the week after. And by the time we get through however many weeks, is, you know, we just go on. And then we'll go to the next thing. But when we come out of here, we're going to be charged up. We're going to see some things. We're going to be at a higher level than what we were before. Do you believe that? I do. I know, just, you know, preaching it. You just, same thing. You come up to a higher level. And so I'm looking forward to it. Praise God. So number one is to know the integrity of God's word. We're talking about 7 steps to the highest kind of faith. So step number one is know the integrity of God's word. Why don't you turn over to Hebrews 4:12 with me? Know the integrity of God's word. Thank you, Lord. You must know that God's word is actually what it declares itself to be. The Word of God is a revelation from God to us. We should also realize that the Bible is God speaking to us now, today. It's not just a book. It is the written Word of God. If it's the written Word of God, then it is God speaking to us. We should read the Bible as if God Himself were saying those words to us. And it will mean so much more. Because the Bible says about itself that it is living and powerful. It's not a book of the past. And then just a book of the future. You know, what's going to happen. It's a book of now. Right now. It's living and powerful right now. It's God breathed, God indwelt, and God inspired. Hebrews 4:12, y'all there? It says, "For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Let's read that one more time. "For the word of God is living and powerful." You believe it's alive? The word of God is alive. That means right now, as we're speaking the word, it is living. It's alive. It'll do something in our life. Right now, as we're speaking the word, and it's anointed, the anointed word of God. The word of God is anointed in itself, but when it's preached under the anointing, it's magnified that much more. So right now, the word of God, as we're declaring it, is at work. It's nourishing our inner man. It is faith food. Right now, all of us, what's going on right now, anybody that's hearing this message on the recording, is that your inner man is going, it's getting nourished. Can you sense that already? It's just something about it that your inner man's just getting nourished. You're just sitting under that anointing right now. Do you realize there's an anointing in here right now? There is. And that's, what is the anointing? We use it so many times. It's God working through man. It's the moving of the Holy Spirit. It means equipped. It means, like, you know, an anointed. When they anointed somebody in the Old Testament, they didn't just take, you know, we do this just because, you know, you have carpet and everything. But I have a bottle of oil here. We'll take a little dab of it and put it on somebody. But in the Old Testament, they just poured it on. You know, if somebody's anointed king, they just do that. It runs all over their face. Well, most of you wouldn't want me to do that to you if you came up to get prayer. So I don't. But that's what anointing means that. So the anointing, like right now, the anointing. You know, if I stand in the pastoral office, it's not gym. It doesn't matter what training I have. Did you hear me? You could go to Bible school for 12 years, and some people do. If you're not called to do something, it does not matter. You have to be anointed and equipped, supernaturally equipped. And so when we are sitting under anointing, like right now, we are listening to the Word of God, the anointed Word of God. There is an anointing in the pastoral office to bring this, to quicken it, to teach us, to quicken it in our hearts. And God is at work. He's taking that word and it's just going right into our inmost being and doing something. That's supernatural. That's supernatural. So many times, I mean, that's why we need to respect the offices that God has given us. The Bible calls them gifts in Ephesians. He gave gifts unto men. And apostles, prophets, evangelists, so forth. And so if we'll esteem the gifts that God has put in the body of Christ, we'll get more from them. We'll get more as we sit under. Like right now, we're drawing from that anointing. We're sitting under that anointing, and that anointing is quickening that word of God. It's filling in the blanks. You know, that's why when we preach something, and I may not know your specific situation, but there's things that are quickened, and it's just like it comes up right before you. It's not words, but it's just coming up, and it's like, I see how that fits, and I see how that fits, and this applies here. That's not me. That's the anointing of God. And because we're speaking the word is quick and powerful. The word is anointed. And so as we're speaking this word, it's going forth, and like we said, it's just going right into your inmost being. It's just like you're just in the inside, you're just sitting down to the table, and you're just having a good meal right now. That's why when you get up and you leave, you just feel buoyed up, nourished, strengthened, like I can go now. Man, I might have come in, I was like, I'm dragging a little bit, but you get up and you go and you're ready. You're ready to go again. Why is that? It's because the Word of God, we're not just reading a book. You know, you can read a book. It might be a good book. But you read it and, okay, you know how it went. You read it again. You might get some more out of it. But maybe by the third time, you know, you keep reading it. It doesn't have the same result as when you read the Word of God. The Word of God, you can read it over and over and over and over, and you never wear it out. You don't ever wear it out. It's like the ocean. You know, you could go up to the ocean, go up to one of these beaches, and you look out over that ocean. It'd be like you going up and taking a teaspoon and taking some water out of that ocean. It'd be like, you know, one of your children going in and taking a teaspoon out of that ocean, come back to you and say, I took some of the ocean. I don't know. Is there going to be enough ocean left? What if I take a few more? And they go back and they keep getting them. You could look and you can't tell the difference. That's the way God is. That's the way the Word is. You take some, doesn't look like there's any difference. You can take and you can take and you can take. And you can take and you can get from the Word, and you can get from the Word, and you can eat, and you can get nourished, and you can get built up. And you haven't even begun with the Word of God. It's that vast. In fact, it's more vast than what we're just talking about, that analogy. I mean, you can't imagine. Can you imagine how long it would take you to empty the ocean one teaspoon at a time? Where would you put it anyway? I mean, where are you going to move it? But can you imagine how long that would take you? That doesn't even begin to compare to what the Word of God is. You could do that a billion times over, and it still wouldn't compare and even start to even do a portion of what God's Word is. That just blows your mind. But that's because we're dealing with the Almighty. Is there any end to Him? No, He is so much bigger than anything that we could imagine, anything that we could. We can't even wrap our little minds around Him. We look at the things that He has created, like the ocean. And the ocean is part of this planet that we call Earth, which is so small compared to some of the other planets in this dinky solar system. And how big that is and how big the sun is compared to any one of these planets, it's huge, but it's nothing compared to the solar system. And then that solar system is nothing compared to the rest of what's out there. And He made all of it. How big is He must be? And that's our Father. See, just looking at the Word of God, we just gotten started just looking at His Word. But He says, verse 12, for the Word of God is living and powerful. When you say the Word of God is living and powerful, think about who spoke it. The Word of who? The Word of God. That God we just got done talking about, it's His Word. That God that is so vast. He created all the heavens, all the earth. We can't even begin to imagine, yet that God, He speaks something out. That is living and that is powerful. If God said it, if the Almighty voiced it, if these are the words, truly the words of the living God, how powerful are they? Are they true? Are they just completely with integrity? They are solid through and through. There is no gap in them. There is no way you could say, well, He said that wrong. He could have said it better. He misspoke. He should have put a comma here. No, if the Almighty said it, can you just see, did you just see the power behind this being that we call Father God, this great being, God Almighty, and He speaks? And what we have here is a written record of His words as He's inspired men to speak. Some recorded that He just spoke, others that He spoke through men. But those words have been spoken by that God, and we have a record of them here. This is no ordinary book. This is not men writing down some cool ideas that sounded neat and sounded, you know, unique and interesting, and let's talk about them all days. These are the words of the living God. Hallelujah. For the word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. You believe it's sharper? I mean, what's sharp? He can get as sharp is, and then sharper. He divide anything that we know about. The things that can't be divided, He knows what's inside of them. The smallest particle, He knows, and He can divide anything. He knows everything there is to know about everything. And you talk about, right here it says that it's sharp. Sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner. The Word of God is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It'll cut right through all the fluff. And people say, I don't know what to do. God knows what to do. And if we'll yield to Him and we'll yield to His Word and let His Word be the final authority, He'll cut through anything that is not true, anything that is superfluous, and He'll cut and get right to the heart of the matter and say, this is what the problem is. This is what you need to do. This is the answer. And the Almighty speaks. And when He says this is it, then it's it. But His Word jumps out of the page at us when we're reading it. It's living. It's powerful. He is ready to perform His word. He is ready to do what He said He would do. Sometimes people don't feel like God has spoken to them unless there's tongues and interpretation or prophecy or something. They think, well, then I got a real word from God. And the fact is, there is no higher word of God than this. And tongues and interpretations and a word is always secondary and under this. Don't ever, when somebody gets a word, you go into another service or you're here and the gifts are operating and somebody receives a word of knowledge, word of wisdom or something, tongues, interpretation, prophecy, don't ever say, well, I wish that were me. Because that's putting, that's your flesh. Your flesh wants something just spectacular that it can hold on to. And so many times the flesh overlooks the supernatural looking for the spectacular. It wants to say, oh, if God told me that way, then I would really know. That's not true. We have the Word of God, and this is the highest authority. There is nothing that trumps this. If we have the Word of God on a subject, that's it. Some people say, well, I want somebody else to tell me, you know, that this will be okay. When the Word of God, if we look in it, already tells us that it will be okay. It already tells us that we have the victory. And if it's a certain situation, it will tell us what we need to do. And if it's not something specific, it'll tell us parameters on how to get the answer, like we've talked about, being led by the Spirit of God. But there is nothing that we need to go and look, well, I need something outside this. Do you realize that there's so many people that are looking for something outside the Word? They want, now, don't misunderstand me, Teaching messages are good. We're doing that right now. But people will substitute teaching messages, substitute books for the Word of God. And it's really easy to do. That you can listen to something, and probably all of us have done it, you're reading the book and it'll come to a scripture. It's like, yeah, scripture, get back to the points. I want to hear more what this guy said. And you jump over the scripture that it's supposed to be based on. That's backwards. It's like, yeah, I want to hear what the guy's saying. Oh, yeah, I've seen that scripture. I know what it says. You don't even read it. Has anybody ever done that besides me? It's supposed to be, this is what the Word of God says, and here's, and explain it, and expound on it, and teach on it. But we can get to where, I know, I want to hear something different. I want to hear something new because I don't have it yet. Now, I'm not saying we want to grow. We want to learn. We want to come up. But sometimes we discount and despise what we have. We're not acting on what we have. We think we need something else. And so much of it is when we act on the word that we know and that we have, that's when we're going to get results. But there is nothing higher than the Word of God. The Word of God comes first. The gift of tongues, interpretation of tongues, and prophecy are inspirational vocal gifts given to us in order to inspire us in line with the Word of God. Did you hear that? To inspire us in line with the Word of God. Always. 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 The word, the any kind of real word will always direct us in line with the Word of God. If somebody gives an utterance or a word that's not in line with the Word of God, then it's not the Spirit of God inspiring it. I don't care who said it. If it's outside the Word of God, if it doesn't bear witness with your spirit, then you throw it away. You should never put that above the Word of God. The Word of God comes first. We have to realize that this is God speaking to us. God's Word is God speaking to us. If we'll maintain that attitude, it's as though Jesus Christ Himself were speaking to us, telling us. What word do you need beyond that? If the Lord came and told you, some of the things, just think about right now, some of the things that we could quote scriptures on. If the Lord Jesus stood before you and said that exact same thing right to you, in your mind right now, do you think, would it make a difference? If our mind says, yeah, that would make a difference. If I had that, then I could make it. That's an error in our thinking because Jesus, He is the living Word. The Word we have is God speaking to us. And if we have to have belief and faith in the integrity of the Word and get down to where if it said it, then this is what it means. I believe it and I'm going to act like it's true, just as if Jesus Himself came up to me and said, this will happen. This is the what I believe it, or this is the how I see your situation. If you trust me, this is the way it'll be. If we look at it that the Bible, when we read it, is just like He came up and told us that and act like that's true, then we'll see life differently. We'll see walking out in faith differently because we'll realize I do have a word from God. I do have an anchor. He has told me something, and I'm going to act just like what He said is true. I'm not trying to belabor the point, but this is a tweak in our thinking. Because think about it. If Jesus Himself were to walk in here right now, that door opened, and Jesus came up and said, I have something to tell you. And He went right to you and said, this is what's going to happen in your situation. This is what you do. You act like this is true. You don't move from this because I've already taken care of this. And he spoke exactly what the Word says about your situation. In our minds, we'd say, now I have the Word. Now I have something I can hold on to. Jesus said it. He walked in to the church and He told me, It's going to happen. Think about where you're at right now. Be honest with yourself. Would that stick in your mind as, it's done? I got it. Jesus came and told me. He stood right there and said, it's going to be okay. If it's a physical thing, I've already taken care of this. All you do is believe it, and it's taken care of. If he walked out, think about it. Be honest with yourself. Would you be thinking, it's done. Jesus told me. I saw him. I have it. Glory to God, it's going to change. Would you act different? You might jump up and say, all right, I got it. Finally, Jesus came here. I have it. It's done. You might run around the room and say, there's no way that can't happen. Jesus came and told me something right here. It's got to happen because he's the living God. How could that fail? It's him. It has to happen. So then we have to take that same mentality, and when the Word says something to us, we have to say, Jesus told me, and that's it. I have it. And act like I have it now. I've got it. Hallelujah. I've got it. And somebody said, well, why do you think that? Because the Word of God tells me, the living, powerful, almighty Word of God, Jesus himself, is just like he spoke to me and told me, this is what's going to happen. Hallelujah. When he says, I took your infirmities, he himself took my infirmities. He bore my sicknesses. It's the Word of God is telling us it is done. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Just let your heart grab that right there. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. His Word is living and powerful. It is the holy written Word of God, just as if the Lord himself spoke it directly to us. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Say this after me. The Bible is God speaking to me. Say it again. The Bible, the Word of God, is God speaking to me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. I can be what it says I can be. I believe it. And it will be to me, even as he said it would be. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your holy written word. Thank you, Lord, for your inspired word. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Just let that sink in. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. There's no need to try and argue about the Word. You know, some folks, they listen to the Word and they try to get around certain truths and they just try to explain them away and say, well, that's not so and here's why and whatever. There's no use trying to do that. Let the Word say what it says and accept it for what it says. Don't, because you can't. If we find ourselves doing that, explaining things away, or, well, I just don't know about that, so, you know, I'm not going to look into that. We are not letting the integrity of God's Word shine through. We're messing with it. We should just take it Because if we look at somebody else and they're saying, well, I just don't believe that and here's why, then we have to look at the Word, and if it says something, we say, this is just like God speaking to me. I believe it, and if I don't understand it, I'm going to get light on it. And I'm going to understand it, but I'm not going to gloss over it. Because if I gloss over and say, well, that just can't be, and if I try to sweep it under the rug, then I'm not letting the truth, I'm missing out on a truth. If I don't understand in God's Word in some way, it's because I just don't have the light on it. That's okay. Because just keep letting the light of God's Word shine, and eventually the darkness will dissipate. We'll see what we need to see. Hallelujah. And then there's some people that just read certain things into the Word. They're not there. But we just, we look at it and we say, well, I really can't see how the Word says this, but I want to believe it. You know, some people, they want to believe something so bad because it sounds good. So I can't see how the Bible really says that. And I'm reading this book, but the book's good. Boy, I like what it's saying. But when he puts the scriptures in there, I have no clue how those two are related. I don't see how you could get the point. It's a good point. I like it. I like what it's saying. I just don't see how I could ever get it from the Word. That's a problem. Like what we said earlier, when we're reading the book, and kind of glossing over the scriptures, we should always be looking at the scriptures and say, how can I see honestly, how this follows from the scripture? Because you can make the Word of God say anything. And I'm not interested in making the Word of God say anything, are you? What's the point? I mean, are we playing? Are we playing church? Or are we trying to adhere to some doctrine? I mean, I don't know about you, but if I'm wrong, I want to know I'm wrong. If it's not working for a reason, I don't want to say, yeah, but it's got to be this way because I believed it for 30 years. So I'm not going to listen to anything that says it differently because that would mean I'm wrong. So I'm just going to keep believing that the Word of God says this because, you know, that's what I've always believed. And so if I hear something else that contradicts it, I'm just going to say, well, I just don't believe that. I want to know what the Word says, because that's the only thing that's going to work in real life, is what the Word, what the Almighty said. Either He said something or He didn't. Either He told us that we could be healed or He didn't. If He didn't, let's not play it. Let's not pray for anybody. Let's not act like it, because we're just fooling ourselves. Either it says it in the book or it doesn't. Either we can be cleansed from sin and we go, and if we mess up, we can go and ask forgiveness, and He says that's behind Him, and either it's true or it's not. Either we're clean or we're not. If we're not, then let's not act like we are, because we're just fooling ourselves. But if we are, then let's take it and run with it and say, what I did before does not matter, and I'm going to stand up boldly. If the Word of God tells me I'm healed, then I need to say, if that's true, then I need to act like it's true and don't play with anything that tells me it's not. I'm not saying I believe in healing because, well, I heard somebody preach it on TV. And, you know, I read some book about it. And, you know, that's just what we're supposed to believe in Word and Faith circles. So I'm going to put on a happy face and I'm going to act like I believe it. Come on. Why? Either, it doesn't matter what we believe. It matters what did God say, because that's the only thing we can believe and have faith and get any results. But if He indeed told us something, this great God, the King of the universe, said something, now we can take it to the bank. Now, if that's true, I don't need to read anything in it. I don't need to go circle around it. I just need to know what He said, completely unadulterated. Just give it to me straight. What does it say so I can act on it and believe it? And if I have some little doctrine that's wrong and something that I picked up that isn't right, there's no use in me holding on to it because I like it. Because if I like it, but it's not the Word of God, it's not going to work. Who wants that? Well, it sounds so good. It makes me, gives me a warm fuzzy inside. But, you know, I just keep bumping up against the same wall. Well, if it's not the Word of God, then let's throw it out. We don't need things gumming up the works. We don't need to look at stuff and just try to gloss over it. Well, I really like that, so I'm just going to insert it. And God knows. God knows my heart, so He'll just make it all work. That's not true. Does He know your heart? Does God look on the heart? Yes. That's a truth. Does He just in life? Well, I don't really believe right, and I'm not doing any of it right, and I'm actually believing something wrong, but God knows what I mean, so the results will happen anyway. That's not true. God knows what He looks on your heart, and if you do what you know to do in things, He's going to be faithful to help you along. And yes, He's faithful to pick you up, but He is bound by His Word. If we go and determine we're going to believe something that's not in line with His Word, He cannot be just and still help us in certain situations and make things happen. He can't just say, well, we knew what they meant, so here, have it anyway, because there is an enemy that's making sure that doesn't happen. And it's a legal thing. So if I'm legally wrong, if I have my facts wrong, if my understanding of the law in Massachusetts is wrong, but I go into court and say, you know, I have a completely wrong case, I'm actually in the wrong, but I say, but you know my heart, I mean, I was trying to do right, and you know, so what if I don't have all my facts straight? Judge, come on, grant it to me anyway. There is somebody across the aisle from me that is saying, no, no, no. This is what the law says. This is what the statutes are. You have to uphold the law, right? So God is not obligated to hold up somebody's doctrine. Did you hear me? I don't care who he is. I don't care how long we've heard him. And I'm not pointing out anybody in particular. I have nobody in mind. I'm just saying it's the same over and over. We can all have somebody and we say, well, but they said it. It doesn't matter what they said. They're a man. And people that have integrity, Brother Hagin, I've heard different people, they'll tell you, you don't follow a man because they can miss it. You follow the Word. Brother Hagin would always say, you listen to what I say, but you look at the Word, and if the Word, if you can't find it for yourself, throw it out, but if it's in the Word, then you go and tell people that the Word says it. Don't go say that I'm preaching it. You say the Word of God says it. There's a difference. God is not obligated to uphold anybody's doctrine. Well, so, and this may seem obvious, but it's not, because we do this. It's so easy to read books, to listen to messages and say, well, I heard them quote some scriptures and I kind of understand it, therefore it's true. And so basically we're going into a problem and we won't admit it, we won't articulate it like this, but really what we're doing is in our minds saying, so-and-so said it would work, so here we go. We say, you know, we quote the Word or whatever, but really where our faith is that somebody told us it was this way and not actually in the Word of God. If it's not in the Word of God, now, if it is something that's godly and biblical, the devil will push you. He's going to say, you're saying it because of him? Let me see if you say it because of him now. You still think it's God's word, or is it somebody else's word? And he'll push on you. And then you start saying, why doesn't this work? Why isn't this working? What are you saying? If we say it's not working, why isn't it working? Go back to where your foundation is. Is it because, yeah, but so-and-so said it happened here and so-and-so said it happened here. Why isn't it working in my case? Because if you're actually saying, God, why isn't your word working? You're probably not really saying it because we just got done. Who are we talking about? Do we really think the God of the universe, when he said something, it somehow, you know, came out of his mouth and this one was just a dud? Not going to work? No, that's usually not what we're saying. What we're saying is our faith is really in something indirect. It's really in what we heard preached. It's really in somebody else's testimony. It's not in the Word of God. And it has to be in the Word of God. It has to be that God Almighty told me this. It's just as if he stood there and said it himself, and I took it, and I said, God said it, and therefore it's going to come to pass. And somebody says, oh, you're listening to so-and-so. So-and-so might have told me what the Word of God said, but I'm not banking on so-and-so now. I know what the Word says, and so the Word says this, so I'm not relying on so-and-so. I'm saying God said this, and he said it to me, and therefore it's going to happen in my life, for my children, now, in 2014. I don't care what happened in 1975. It's a good story. Thank God for the testimony, or 1924. Praise God that happened. But in 2014, in Massachusetts, it's working for me now, because the God of all creation is still the same. He was the same yesterday. He's the same today. He'll be the same tomorrow. The same God that raised people from the dead in the Bible is my God. The same God that healed the sick, that raised people up of the deathbed, that raised people that had never walked before, is my God, and it will happen now. Why? Because God Almighty said it would. And I'm taking him at his word, and it will happen for me. It can't do anything but happen because he told me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Why don't you stand to your feet? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Why don't you be seated? Glory to God. Glory to God. Let me read you one more thing. Leave you with this. Thank you, Lord. I'll just read it to you. You can mark it down. 1 Kings 8:56. 1 Kings 8:56. 1 Kings 8:56. Why don't you go ahead and turn there real quick? Let's just turn there. Lay your eyes on it. It says, "Blessed be the Lord who has given rest to his people Israel according to all he promised. There has not failed one word of all his good promise which he promised through his servant Moses." There has not failed one word of all his good promise, which he promised through his servant Moses. No word of his failed, and it will never fail. Never. Hallelujah. This is Solomon speaking this. All the words that had been spoken had come to pass. God said it. They acted on it, and it came to pass, and that's the way it is today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God will not fail us. He will not fail to bring his word to pass in our life. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Are you encouraged?
Yes.
Hallelujah. I know I preached myself happy. Thank you, Lord.